Hello and welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange, broadcasting from Gadigal country. I'm Christine Gallagher, and the Wide Open Air Exchange is a place for lifelong learners. So welcome to you if you're a lifelong learner. Our topic today is decolonising names. So in the Australian setting, a colonial legacy has been the anglicisation of language, including how people respond to a person's name that has sounds or spellings that are not familiar. And there's nearly 6 million people in Australia use a language other than English at home, most commonly Mandarin, Arabic, Vietnamese, Cantonese and Punjabi, and hundreds of other languages, including First Nations languages. So some information, strategies and tips for how to have a conversation with somebody who you're meeting for the first time, whose name might seem unfamiliar to you, but also if you're the person who has a name that others often mispronounce or tend to want to give you a nickname that's easier for them to say, to anglicise your name. Decolonising names has been the subject of the Say My Name initiative at UTS. And to tell us more, we're joined by Dr. Elaine Lafortesa from the UTS Centre for Justice and Inclusion. Elaine has a PhD in cultural studies and has been leading the Say My Name initiative for the Multicultural Women's Network. Dr. Elaine Lafortesa.
Yes.
Welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
The Multicultural Women's Network at UTS is somewhat similar to the Mosaic Network at the University of Sydney, and has some connection with the Say My Name campaign in doing similar kinds of work.
We are. So yeah. Our focus is, so we're looking at every staff member at UTS who identifies as a woman and coming from a culturally and linguistically diverse background can join the network. And what Mosaic Network does, it's open to all called staff members, so regardless of gender.
Yes.
We got the inspiration from the Mosaic Network about the Say My Name campaign because we saw their email signatures saying, this is how you pronounce my name. And we thought, that's such an awesome way to communicate to people, okay, this name might not be seen as, I guess, the most familiar surname in Australia. And, names are such an important part of who we are, and we carry that with us through everything we do. And when it gets butchered time and time again, it does take a toll. We thought, this is kind of low-hanging fruit. We can implement that. We want to reach out to Mosaic Network and ask, okay, what gave you the inspiration? What else have you been doing? And what have been the results or the impacts of it? And so we took that on board as the network and we rolled with it. So what I did specifically was I went through UTS Shopfront, which is a curriculum-based program where subjects and students are matched with not-for-profit organizations. And the students help these not-for-profits develop things like business plans or visual assets for campaigns. And we came to them as the Multicultural Women's Network because it's a volunteer employee resource group. So no one's paid to be a part of the network.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, of
so
course.
We kind of do it as, it's a side job.
It's a volunteer position within that's associated with your professional role and within your professional association, but you do it off your own bat or voluntarily. It's a non-profit program or venture?
I would say that the only role really that is financially funded, I suppose, is my role. But that's only been because it's a part of my work plan.
Yes.
And that's only been implemented because my role in Centre for Social Justice and Inclusion, it's quite new.
That's a professional centre within, so it's a part of the university where people are working in professional roles, working on social inclusion and diversity issues that affect all staff and students, whether they're academic staff or professional. I know all staff are professional staff, but what I mean. I know that you have academic qualifications, but in the role that you're in, I guess it's what they you would call a professional role within a university.
That's exactly yes. it, yes. And we also do community engaged work as well. Okay. So within our local precinct, for example, Glebe, Pyrmont, Ultimo, and so on. And we leverage the expertise from the university to ensure that our precinct is actually a place where we can thrive.
Yes.
So it's really where equity, diversity and inclusion for our UTS community and beyond. And this is where we can speak directly to policy, work in curriculum, so curriculum-based projects and so on, and also supporting things like the Multicultural Women's Network.
Yeah, so yeah. That's sort of like, I guess, I do want to, sorry, I will yeah. get us more into the actual subject, but it's good to sort of have the context as well of who
yeah.
you are and where you're coming from. But a bit like, I suppose, in the if it's okay to say diversity and inclusion space.
Yes.
So in a way you're leading the part of this Say My Name campaign and the Multicultural Women's Network. Is that like what some organisations would call an employee network?
Yes.
Yes.
It's definitely yes. an employee resource group. Mm. Yeah.
Could we speak a bit more about the problem or the why? Why there is a need? Yeah. What does decolonizing names mean? Like what has been the problem or what is the problem? It's an ongoing one that is being addressed.
Yes, because if yeah. you look at the campaign, it's really trying to have that literacy about names that are deemed either foreign or tricky or unfamiliar within dominant linguistic context.
Yes.
And when I say dominant linguistic context, I'm specifically talking about Anglo-British linguistic context.
Yes, which is not only in Australia, but of course in a lot of what
yes.
we call the Western world. And,
yes.
and the podcast version of this program, there's the larger portions of the audience are in Australia, the UK and the
yes.
US. So big time anglicisation
yes.
of names going on in
and
all of
even,
those places.
That's exactly right, Christine. And even in spaces where, okay, it's not an Anglo country or Anglo-dominant country, but have been colonized,
yes.
right? So we also, for example, I'm from the Philippines originally, but we're very much a westernized
mm-hmm.
country. We've had nearly 400 years of Spanish colonization,
yes.
then 30 plus years of American imperialism,
yes.
and that ongoing colonial dependency
mm-hmm.
still to Western nation states. So yes, it's no surprise that of course we're also socialized and literate in the ways that Western colonization, curriculum, education and so on want us to be.
Yes, thank you so much for moving me beyond just those locations, because it's also globalization is a Western imperial product as
yes.
well, isn't it? So it's everywhere.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And we can, like you said, it's everywhere. It's in pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's in how AI is coded.
Yes.
So it's such an insidious, everyday, normalized part of our way of being that we don't think or we're not encouraged to think or reflect on what that actually means when we go about our life until we get to the point, oh, we're introducing ourselves to someone and people invariably fumble with names that don't fit that dominant lexicon. And
yes.
then you go, oh, actually, my name is not Lafarza, it's La Forteza.
Yes.
And it depends how people react. But when we put that decolonized spin on it, we want people to reflect on why people have more familiarity or comfort with names that are from an Anglo-British origin. Because if I can take you on a time machine.
Yes, yeah, please do.
Back to 1901, what were we doing there as Australia?
Yes.
Well, we got federated, right? We became a federated nation state. And one of the first acts of parliament of this newly federated nation state was to, you know, execute the Immigration Restriction Act, which became known, more commonly known as the White Australia Policy.
It's so shocking that it's in such recent, in our recent history. It's so,
yes.
it's relatively contemporary that we had a White Australia Policy in Australia up until the 1970s.
That's exactly
crazy
it.
Crazy
yeah.
to think, but that is so, that's within living memory, very well and truly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the foundations of how we come to be a nation state as well.
Mm.
And one of the things or primary things about this Immigration Restriction Act was to restrict Chinese immigration to this country, which then shows, okay, Chinese immigration predates 1901, yet we don't have the same familiarity with Chinese accents, words, linguistic structures, as opposed to Anglo-British ones.
That's such a good point, Elaine, because I know some of the history, but my understanding is that there was a lot of Chinese immigration during the Gold Rush,
yes,
which was prior to the 1900s. But you're right, if we've had Chinese residents and citizens in Australia for that predates Federation,
yes,
why have we not got used to saying and reading Chinese names?
That's exactly it. And this is why the campaign is not just about learning how to pronounce someone's names correctly, but reflecting on why we can pronounce some names correctly with ease without thinking twice about it more than others. Yeah. And one of the people who I interviewed for this campaign said, well, they can say Natasha Stott Despoja. They can say Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
They can definitely say my name.
Yes.
And I'm like, can they though?
So it's the familiarity but also the effort in learning,
yes,
how to say a name properly. I have had the experience in my lifetime of people say, what's your name? And they say, yeah, oh, my name is, but you can call me such and such.
Yes.
Possibly because it's they've had too many other frustrating conversations where their name hasn't been understood and then now defaulting to the anglicised version. So it comes in the introduction immediately where you're not being invited to learn the correct, yeah, pronunciation. It's I'm giving you the easy way right from the start. But is that right? I imagine that comes from I can't go through this same dance every time.
And I think it's taking that lead from the person that you're engaging with, because, yeah, it is contextual and the context can shift. Because sometimes I'm in a position or I'm in the mood to say, actually, the way that you say my name is this, please call me that and learn how to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
And other times I'm just, I can't do this today. Yeah. And so I take both the easy way out for that person I'm communicating with, but also for my own mental load too.
Right.
So it is always taking the lead from that person that you are communicating with and engaging with. And also being open to saying, I would love to know what your name is, and if you'd like, I'd like to learn how to pronounce it correctly too. And if they say, oh no, just call me whatever, or a nickname or a shortened version of that, that could also be their preference as well. So it is case to case.
I see. So it's respecting the person's preferences, because I must admit in the past I have been more inclined to say, oh no, come on, I'd like to get it right.
Yeah.
Help me to learn it. But that could be not the right thing to do if the person is not in the frame of mind to want to have to walk you through how,
yes,
to pronounce,
yeah,
their name on a particular day.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And always being respectful and kind, and also genuine in your approach and why you want to know. And it's,
yes,
not putting that, I suppose, load or burden back on the person, like you said, to have to walk you through things and explain it when they're not in the mood, when they're not in the right frame of mind as well.
Yes. Can it work, though, that making an effort, even if it is taking you a few turns,
yeah,
can that be a show of, can that be well received in some circumstances? If you're having a couple of minutes of dialogue where you're trying to, yeah, get somebody's name correct.
Yeah, it definitely can.
Mm.
And I think a lot of the reaction as well when people do that genuine effort is that might be one of the first or few times that's happened,
okay,
with a person. So one, they're shocked or might not know how to respond. And also that kind of, oh, I can breathe out in this conversation. You're making that genuine effort. Okay, you're not getting it right, but you're trying genuinely, and you're taking the time to actually understand and respect that that is my name, this is how you say it, and thank you for trying.
Yeah.
So it's a whole range of emotions, and to be honest with you, I've gone through all of them.
Right. What do you have a view on whether it's okay to ask someone about the origin of their name? Because I know I'm aware of microaggressions and,
yes,
also of having the experience of, you know, the no, but where are you really from, and
yes,
those kind,
yeah,
of conversations. But is that different to taking an interest in the origin of someone's name? Oh, that's a, you know, it's a lovely name. Like, what is the origin of your name?
Again,
is that,
it's
is that
about
okay?
reading the, yeah, context and reading the room, as that saying goes, and also that not being the only thing that you talk about or that you focus on. Right. So, of course, that person is, you know, can be interested in a whole range of things, may or may not have to do with their cultural background, and be a part of that conversation as well and share, oh, this is my name, I got it from my grandma, or whoever, and your own personal story. So it's an exchange rather than a transactional kind of approach.
Yes, I see. Maybe it is because I quite like when someone takes an interest in my name. Yeah. Someone says, oh, Gallagher, are you a Gallagher or a Gallagher? Because it's pronounced differently in some different parts. Oh, that's a good Irish name. Yes. I like that because I think, oh, that's actually a big part of my identity.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to talk about that. But that's me saying that as a, I guess, a white Irish Australian. But that positive experience that I have has made me in the past think that it could flow both ways. But are you saying that you've got to be careful with over-emphasising your interest in someone's cultural heritage? In a way, it is about social etiquette and how to interact with people and what's polite and what isn't.
Well, that's it. And also, and I love that you're asking these questions because it is about being reflexive of that engagement, and people don't just go in there kind of blundering and then just focusing on the one thing. And I think the implication there is with the same thing with where are you from or where are you really from, it's this implication that you don't belong here or you're not from here. You're here right now, but you're not of the country. Mm. And those questions about names can work in a similar way. Right. And some people may take it in that way. They're asking, why are you asking me so much about this? I'm Australian. Right. There's also that. So there's a way to phrase it and a way to, I guess, shape that exchange and conversation where it is about knowledge sharing and that you're curious in an authentic and respectful way and sharing some of your own experiences as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we could move into some additional sort of specific tips, if you're trying to correct how someone should say your name or ask them, we've covered a little bit of it, but there was maybe some specifics like the very practical tip or strategy of having your pronunciation in your signature.
Mm-hmm.
What other sorts of things like that? For example, I had a guest on the program and they had a pronunciation guide on their LinkedIn and you could click on it and it was them saying their name. I was like, oh, that's really helpful.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Yeah. And I have one of those as well.
Oh, do you?
Where you can click the link and then I've pre-recorded Elaine Lafortesa, and on my signature, I write it out phonetically. But if it's asking someone else, how do you say your name? Even just that question, when they say, they introduce themselves and you don't quite catch it, or it's unfamiliar to the way that you think or the names that you've been, I guess, that you know quite well, you can ask them again. And then you can even ask, do you mind if I write that out? Because I'd love to know how to say your name correctly. And oh, that's a beautiful name. Can I please write that as well? Yeah. And the things that you shouldn't say are laugh. Or do is laugh or say, do you have a nickname or can I call you this? Which happens quite a lot, for example, in classroom situations where there's an international student, for example, and international students have told me, the tutor, for example, says, oh, well, that's too hard to say. I'll just call you Sam.
Gosh.
And so for that whole semester, this person has been stripped of their identity. So, of course, they don't speak. They don't feel safe. They don't feel heard or seen. They're now being renamed as something that's easier to say, easier to contend with and recognize. Definitely don't do that.
No.
Yes, it's just that respectful, genuine, and authentically so as well. And it's okay to mess it up, but this genuine need and willingness to say, I want to work on getting your name right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is it okay, do you think, to ask, because sometimes with learning anything new, having associations can help, like it sounds like something else.
Yes, yeah.
Is that okay to ask if you're not quite hearing it in the first few times you've asked, or is that too dehumanizing, you know, to say to someone, what does it sound, or do you just need to figure that out for yourself? You know?
Sometimes people do offer that as a way to, make the name familiar in the way that other person understands.
Yeah.
But also, yes, you could figure that out on your own and write it out the way that, because I've done that a lot with names and I write it out how I think it's spelled,
mm.
and then write out their name, how it's spelled, but then write out how it sounds to myself. But I don't share that with anyone.
Right. Part of the motivation for having this conversation today is, and I will honour the privacy of the person. I won't even say what context it was in.
Yeah.
But somebody was telling me that, and someone I've known for a long time that I hadn't spoken to for a very long time, like several years.
Mm.
And I used their name and they said, oh, no, I'm not going by that anymore.
Okay.
I'm now using my actual name.
Oh, wow.
And
yes.
It was the same name, but people had been pronouncing it in an anglicised way for many, many years,
yes.
all their friends. And they said, I'm not accepting that anymore.
Wow,
and
yeah.
so now I'm just telling everyone, I'm correcting that I would now like to be called by the correct pronunciation,
yeah.
which is. And they had told me that it has, in their professional life, they've integrated that, you know, into the, like they now all only
That's
entirely
fantastic.
Introduce themselves that way. But they have been having a number of frustrating exchanges with people as they've tried to transition
yeah.
to because I guess partly what I'm saying is it's never too late. Even if,
yes.
even if for, you know, many decades people have been using another pronunciation of your name, that it is okay to kind of assert that you
yes.
are now changing that.
This is actually my name.
Actually
yeah.
my name. But one of the things that person told me they do is they carry a business card so that when they're saying, if they're having trouble with somebody
yeah.
not getting it, that they will hand over the
That's
business card.
That's such a good idea, yeah. We're developing, so we do have merch that we're developing for the Say My Name campaign.
Mm.
And one of them is that. And it says, my name is, and then you write it yourself. And then it is pronounced, and then you write that as well.
Right.
So I think that's such a great idea because you can just hand it and then they can keep it.
Yes.
And they can just refer to it whenever and practice it at home
mm.
as well. So that's, I think, such a great takeaway, like a literal takeaway of how to pronounce and work on pronouncing that person's name correctly. But it is a journey. I think the beauty of today is that we do have the language for what we're speaking about. And by language, I mean there's more understanding, there's more openness, there's more awareness that diversity is a part of life.
Yes.
Not despite. It's not despite yes. life, it yes. is life.
Yes.
So this is what I think is so exciting about having a campaign like this mm. and having it really well received.
Yes.
And for people,
and award-winning.
And, yes,
isn't
that's
it?
Right, yes. well, because it's part of the work that we do as a yeah. Multicultural Women's Network, and we did get awarded for the work that we do, and one of them is driving this campaign. And people really, it's been just so heartwarming to hear people's feedback.
Yeah.
about that and asking people, okay, what are your experiences with your names? And again, for me, I'm working on it right and I'm leading that work. But when I stop to think about it, I'm always filled with tears. So I think it's such a seemingly small thing, but it's the one thing that we carry with us through
yes.
life. So if we mess that up, I mean, that does take a toll and it does bear really heavily on how we then assert ourselves in different situations and circumstances and even how we feel about ourselves.
Mm.
So I feel this kind of campaign and decolonization as a whole, if we do it through this assets-based approach where we're empowered to ask people on both sides, how do you say your name and can you say my name?
Yes.
I think that can only be a strength.
So, so good. Is there anything else you wanted to say about it? I mean, I'm satisfied that we've covered a lot, but I also want to give you the opportunity to say anything else that you thought we might cover.
That's it, except Say My Name. I know that's Destiny's Child.
Yes, Say My Name, Say
that's
My Name.
Right. Yeah, that's it, which now hopefully everyone will have
yes.
in their heads. But, yeah.
I'll link to it also from the radio and podcast pages of the Wide Open Air Exchange because there's online resources that have made available publicly. There's a video and other things.
Yeah, so. And we do have infographics about some of the questions you ask.
Yes.
So how do you say, or how do you ask someone how to say their name, and also how you ask someone, can you say my name like this?
Yeah. Elaine, thank you so, so much.
Oh, thanks, Christine.
You're welcome back anytime. I know there's so much more that we could speak about in terms of, you know, your own research interests, own other activities that you've been involved with, and podcasts and plays. Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
And other work that you're doing in social inclusion as well. So come back another time, please.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been great.
Thanks, Christine.
Hey. That's Dr. Elaine LaForteza from the UTS Centre for Justice and Inclusion and the Multicultural Women's Network. For me personally, there's still a lot to learn when it comes to decolonisation and diversity and inclusion. But one thing I'm sure of is that the anti-DEI campaigning that's happening in the US and elsewhere, we have our own version of the culture wars here in Australia, it's not going to deter me from continuing to seek information and guidance and self-education on those issues with the help of patient educators like Elaine LaForteza. So thanks again, Elaine. Thanks again for listening to the Wide Open Air Exchange. Thanks to Vape Dads for the use of the track Whiskey Priest for the Wide Open Air Exchange theme music. I'm Christine Gallagher. I'll have another conversation for you next week.